Welcome to the full mock exam. This is 75 questions covering every topic tested on the New York State Real Estate Salesperson exam in the same format as the real thing. A quick reminder of the format. The real exam is 75 multiple choice questions in 90 minutes. You need 70% to pass. That's 53 correct out of 75. There is no penalty for a wrong answer, so never leave a question blank. One difference. The real exam shuffles every topic together. This video groups questions into chapters by subject, so it's easier to review and see where your weak spots are. Chapter 1. License Law and Regulation. 7 questions. Question 1. Within how many business days must a broker deposit earnest money into an escrow account? A. Immediately, same day. B. 3 business days. C. 10 business days. D. 30 calendar days. The answer is B, 3 business days. This is a hard deadline in New York license law and a favorite exam fact. Question 2. A broker spends client escrow funds on personal expenses, intending to repay it later. This is A, commingling. B, conversion. C, puffery. D, steering. The answer is B, conversion. Commingling is mixing client and personal funds together. Conversion is actually spending them. The more serious violation of the two. Question 3. A licensed salesperson may legally receive a commission payment directly from A. the buyer. B. the seller. C. only their sponsoring broker. D. another salesperson at a different firm. The answer is C. only their sponsoring broker. A salesperson's license is always held by a broker, and compensation must flow through that broker, never directly from a client or another agent. Question 4. Which of the following advertisements would violate New York's blind advertising rule? A. An ad listing the property's square footage and price. B. An ad that omits the brokerage's name. C. An ad with a photo of the property. D. An ad that lists the listing agent's name. The answer is B. Every real estate ad in New York must identify the brokerage. An ad that looks like it came from a private owner with no brokerage named is a blind ad and a license law violation. Question 5. A broker may split a commission with A. any unlicensed referral source. B. another licensed real estate broker. C. a client as a rebate in all cases. D. a salesperson from a different brokerage directly. The answer is B. Commission splits happen broker to broker. A brokerage cannot legally split a fee with an unlicensed person, and payment to an agent at another firm still has to route through that firm's broker. Question 6. How long is a New York real estate salesperson license term before renewal? A. 1 year. B. 2 years. C. 4 years. D. It never expires. The answer is B. 2 years. Each renewal cycle also requires 22 and a half hours of continuing education. Question 7. How long does a 77-hour pre-licensing course completion certificate remain valid in New York? A. 1 year. B. 3 years. C. 8 years. D. It never expires. The answer is C. 8 years from completion. And separately, there is no state limit on how many times you may retake the exam itself. Chapter 2. Agency Relationships. 8 questions. Question 8. Which mnemonic lists the fiduciary duties an agent owes their client? A. FERPTA. B. Old CAR. C. RESPA. D. Can't Spam. The answer is B. Old CAR. Obedience, Loyalty, Disclosure, Confidentiality, Accounting, and Reasonable Care. Question 9. When must a licensee present the agency disclosure form to a prospective buyer? A. At closing. B. When an offer is submitted. C. At the first substantive contact. D. Only if the buyer requests it. The answer is C. At the first substantive contact, the moment the conversation moves past small talk into a buyer's specific needs, motivation, or finances. Question 10. Dual agency is legal in New York only when A. the commission is reduced by half. B. Both parties give informed, written consent. C. The transaction is under $500,000. D. One party is a licensed attorney. The answer is B. Both parties must give informed, written consent. Undisclosed dual agency is a serious violation regardless of how the deal turns out. Question 11. In designated agency, how are buyer and seller represented? A. By the same single agent for both. B. By two different agents at the same firm, each representing one side. C. By agents at two different, unrelated firms. D. Neither party has representation. The answer is B. The brokerage assigns one agent to the buyer and a different agent to the seller, so each side still gets individual, non-conflicted representation. Question 12. A listing agent tells a buyer, "This is the best block in the neighborhood." This is an example of A. Misrepresentation. B. Puffery. C. Fraud. D. Steering. The answer is B. Puffery. It's a subjective sales opinion, not a false factual claim. Misrepresentation would be something specific and checkable, like a wrong square footage. Question 13. A broker is generally liable for the licensed acts of their salespeople under a legal principle called A. Adverse possession. B. Vicarious liability. C. Constructive notice. D. Estoppel. The answer is B. Vicarious liability. Since every salesperson operates under a sponsoring broker, that broker carries responsibility for their agent's licensed conduct. Question 14. A seller instructs their agent to avoid disclosing a known roof leak. The agent should A. Follow the instruction, duty of obedience requires it. B. Refuse. The duty of obedience only covers lawful instructions. C. Disclose it only if directly asked. D. Resign from the listing immediately, with no other option. The answer is B. Obedience only covers lawful instructions. Concealing a known material defect isn't lawful, so the client's wishes don't override that. Question 15. Which of the following would end an agency relationship? A. The property is destroyed by fire. B. The agent takes a vacation. C. The seller lowers the price. D. The buyer views a second property. The answer is A. Destruction of the subject property ends the agency. Agency can also end by completion of the deal, expiration of the listing, mutual agreement, or death or incapacity of a party. Chapter 3. Real Estate Contracts. 8 questions. Question 16. Which of these is not a required element of a valid contract? A. Offer and acceptance. B. Consideration. C. Notarization. D. Legal capacity of the parties. The answer is C. Notarization. A real estate contract generally must be in writing, but notarization itself isn't one of the required elements of a valid contract. Question 17. A contract signed under threat or duress is A. Valid and fully enforceable. B. Void from the start. C. Voidable by the injured party. D. Automatically converted to a lease. The answer is C. Voidable. The injured party gets to choose whether to cancel it or enforce it. A void contract, by contrast, was never legally valid in the first place. Question 18. A buyer offers $400,000. The seller responds offering to accept $415,000. This is A. A. Acceptance. B. Counteroffer, which voids the original offer. C. Contingency. D. Assignment. The answer is B. A counteroffer. It automatically kills the original offer. The buyer's $400,000 offer is off the table the moment the seller counters. Question 19. Under the statute of frauds, which of these real estate contracts generally must be in writing to be enforceable? A. A lease for 1 month or less. B. A verbal agreement to show a property. C. A contract for the sale of real property. D. An agent's promise to call back tomorrow. The answer is C. Contracts for the sale of real property must be in writing under the statute of frauds. Short-term leases are a common exception. Question 20. A purchase contract that is contingent on the buyer obtaining financing means A. The buyer must pay cash. B. The contract only proceeds if the buyer secures a loan. C. The seller must provide financing. D. The contract is automatically void. The answer is B. The deal is conditioned on the buyer getting a loan. If financing falls through, this contingency typically lets the buyer cancel and recover their deposit. Question 21. An assignment of a contract transfers A. The original party's rights and duties to a new party, while the original party may remain liable. B. only physical possession of the property. C. Nothing, assignments are illegal in real estate. D. Title, without any contract terms attached. The answer is A. Rights and duties transfer. But the original party can remain liable unless the other side agrees to a complete release. That complete release is called a novation. Question 22. A buyer defaults, and the contract states the seller keeps the earnest money as the seller's only remedy. This is called A. Specific performance. B. Liquidated damages. C. Rescission. D. Novation. The answer is B. Liquidated damages, a pre-agreed dollar amount that stands in for having to sue and prove actual damages. Question 23. A contract contains a time is of the essence clause. This means A. Deadlines in the contract are strictly enforceable. B. The contract has no deadlines at all. C. Either party can extend any date freely. D. The clause only applies to the closing date. The answer is A. Every deadline in the contract becomes strictly enforceable. Missing one, even briefly, can be treated as a breach of the whole agreement. Chapter 4. Fair Housing Law. 6 questions. Question 24. Which of the following is one of the 7 federal protected classes under the Fair Housing Act? A. Source of income. B. Marital status. C. Familial status. D. Age. The answer is C. Familial status, one of the federal 7, along with race, color, religion, national origin, sex, and disability. The other 3 choices are New York additions, not federal protections. Question 25. New York's human rights law adds protection based on source of income. This means a landlord may not A. require proof of employment. B. refuse an applicant because they pay with a housing voucher. C. run a credit check. D. ask for references. The answer is B. Refusing an applicant for paying with a voucher, like Section 8, is unlawful in New York. Neutral screening like credit checks is still allowed if applied the same way to everyone. Question 26. An agent only shows a family with children listings in neighborhoods that already have many children. This practice is called A. blockbusting. B. redlining. C. steering. D. puffery. The answer is C. steering. Guiding buyers toward or away from an area based on a protected characteristic is a violation, even if the agent thinks they're being helpful. Question 27. Convincing homeowners to sell quickly, at a low price, by suggesting a particular group is moving into the neighborhood is called A. redlining. B. blockbusting. C. designated agency. D. novation. The answer is B. blockbusting, sometimes called panic selling. It is illegal under fair housing law. Question 28. A lender denies loans in a certain zip code, regardless of individual applicants' qualifications. This is A. redlining. B. steering. C. illegal underwriting practice. D. puffery. The answer is A. redlining, denying loans or services based on the neighborhood itself, rather than looking at the individual applicant. Question 29. A rental ad states, perfect for a quiet, mature couple, no children please. This ad most clearly implicates which fair housing category? A. national origin. B. familial status. C. disability. D. religion. The answer is B. familial status. No children please directly excludes households with kids, which is unlawful. The safe rule is to describe the property, never the desired occupant. Chapter 5. Real Estate Finance. 6 questions. Question 30. 1 discount point equals what percentage of the loan amount? A. 1%. B. 5%. C. 10%. D. 0.1%. The answer is A. 1%. Points are calculated on the loan amount, not the sale price. A detail the exam tests directly. Question 31. A buyer puts 10% down on a home. Their loan-to-value ratio is A. 10%. B. 90%. C. 100%. D. 110%. The answer is B. 90%. LTV equals the loan amount divided by the value. A 10% down payment leaves 90% financed. Question 32. An adjustable rate mortgage differs from a fixed rate mortgage because A. Its interest rate can change periodically after an initial period. B. It never has to be repaid. C. It has no interest rate at all. D. It requires no down payment. The answer is A. An ARMS rate can adjust periodically after an initial fixed period, tied to a market index, unlike a fixed-rate loan, where the rate never changes. Question 33. Private mortgage insurance, or PMI, is typically required when A. The buyer pays entirely in cash. B. The down payment is below 20%. C. The property is a co-op. D. The loan is government-backed only. The answer is B. Below a 20% down payment, lenders typically require PMI to protect themselves against the higher loan-to-value ratio. Question 34. When a seller extends credit directly to the buyer instead of a bank, this is called A. A purchase money mortgage. B. A blanket mortgage. C. A reverse mortgage. D. An open-end mortgage. The answer is A. A purchase money mortgage, seller financing, where the seller effectively acts as the lender. Question 35. RESPA, the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, primarily governs A. Fair housing enforcement. B. Disclosure of closing costs and settlement procedures. C. Property tax assessment appeals. D. Zoning variance applications. The answer is B. RESPA requires lenders to disclose loan and closing costs to borrowers in a standardized, transparent way. Chapter 6. Real property and ownership. 8 questions. Question 36. Which estate gives the owner the greatest, most complete bundle of ownership rights? A. Life estate. B. Leasehold estate. C. Fee simple absolute. D. Estate for years. The answer is C. Fee simple absolute, the highest form of ownership, with no time limit and no conditions attached. Question 37. A life estate measured by the life of someone other than the life tenant is called A. Per otra vie. B. Remainder interest. C. Reversion. D. Estate at will. The answer is A. Per otra vie, French for the life of another. The estate ends when that other named person dies, not the life tenant. Question 38. In a joint tenancy with right of survivorship, when one owner dies, their share A. passes automatically to the surviving joint tenants. B. goes to their heirs through probate. C. reverts to the state. D. is divided equally among all prior owners' heirs. The answer is A. The share passes automatically to the surviving joint tenants, bypassing probate entirely. That survivorship feature is what separates joint tenancy from tenancy in common. Question 39. Unlike joint tenancy, tenancy in common does not include A. the right to sell your share. B. right of survivorship. C. equal right to use the whole property. D. the ability to leave your share to your heirs. The answer is B. Tenancy in common has no right of survivorship. A deceased owner's share passes to their own heirs, not to the other co-owners. Question 40. Tenancy by the entirety is a form of ownership available specifically to A. business partners. B. married couples. C. corporations. D. any two unrelated buyers. The answer is B. married couples. In New York, it includes right of survivorship, and one spouse generally cannot sell or encumber the property without the other's consent. Question 41. An easement that benefits a specific piece of land and transfers automatically with that land when sold is an easement. A. in gross. B. appurtenant. C. by necessity, only. D. in severalty. The answer is B. appurtenant. It runs with the land, automatically transferring to a new owner. An easement in gross instead benefits a specific person or company, not a parcel. Question 42. Which lien generally has the highest priority, regardless of when it was recorded? A. a mechanics lien. B. a mortgage lien. C. a property tax lien. D. a judgment lien. The answer is C. a property tax lien. Most liens follow first in time, first in right, based on recording date, but tax liens jump ahead of that line automatically. Question 43. A built-in bookshelf, custom fit and permanently attached to the wall, would most likely be classified as A. personal property. B. a trade fixture only. C, real property, a fixture. D, an easement. The answer is C, a fixture, and therefore real property. The test looks at how it's attached, how well it's adapted to the space, and intent. A custom, permanently attached shelf checks all three. Chapter 7. Land use, zoning, and environmental issues. 5 questions. Question 44. A property owner wants permission to build slightly closer to the property line than zoning allows, due to an unusually shaped lot. This request is called A. A. Variance. B. Special use permit. C. Nonconforming use. D. Eminent domain claim. The answer is A. A variance, permission to deviate from the rule itself, usually due to a hardship. A special use permit is different. It allows a use the zoning code already anticipates, under specific conditions. Question 45. A small factory has operated in an area for decades before the area was rezoned residential. The factory is allowed to continue operating under A. A variance. B. Legal nonconforming use. C. Eminent domain. D. Is cheat. The answer is B. Legal nonconforming use, often called being grandfathered in. The use predates the new zoning rule and can generally continue, though usually not expand. Question 46. The government's power to take private property for public use, with just compensation, is called A. Escheat. B. Eminent domain. C. Police power. D. Adverse possession. The answer is B. Eminent domain. The government must pay just compensation, generally fair market value, for the taking. Question 47. Federal law requires sellers of homes built before 1978 to disclose the potential presence of A. radon. B. Lead-based paint. C. Asbestos. D. Mold. The answer is B. Lead-based paint. 1978 is the year lead-based paint was banned in residential housing, a specific date the exam likes to test. Question 48. A municipality's general legal authority to regulate land use for the public's health, safety, and welfare is called its A. Eminent domain. B. Police power. C. Escheat power. D. Right of first refusal. The answer is B. Police power. This is the broad authority zoning itself is based on, distinct from eminent domain, which involves actually taking the property. Chapter 8. Valuation and appraisal. 5 questions. Question 49. Which appraisal approach is generally best suited for valuing a single-family home in an active neighborhood? A. Cost approach. B. Sales comparison approach. C. Income capitalization approach. D. Gross rent multiplier only. The answer is B. Sales comparison, comparing the subject property to similar, recently sold homes nearby. This is the standard approach for owner-occupied residential property. Question 50. The appraisal approach best suited for a rental apartment building generating steady income is A. Sales comparison approach. B. Cost approach. C. Income capitalization approach. D. Replacement cost only. The answer is C. Income capitalization. Value is derived from the property's net operating income, using value equals NOI divided by cap rate. Question 51. The appraisal principle stating that the most profitable, legally permitted, physically possible use of a site determines its value is A. Highest and best use. B. Principle of substitution. C. Principle of conformity. D. Principle of contribution. The answer is A. Highest and best use. The foundation most valuation analysis starts from, even before picking an appraisal approach. Question 52. A home has an outdated 1980s kitchen that no buyer wants. This type of value loss is called A. Physical deterioration. B. Functional obsolescence. C. External obsolescence. D. Highest and best use. The answer is B. Functional obsolescence, outdated design relative to what buyers expect today. External obsolescence, by comparison, comes from something outside the property, like a nearby highway. Question 53. A comparable property has an extra bathroom the subject property lacks. When adjusting the comparable's price to value the subject, the appraiser should A. Add the value of the bathroom to the comparable's price. B. Subtract the value of the bathroom from the comparable's price. C. Ignore the difference entirely. D. Double the comparable's total price. The answer is B. Subtract it. Adjustments are always made to the comparable property, never the subject. Since the comparable has something the subject lacks, you subtract that value from the comparable's price. Chapter 9. Real Estate Math. 8 Questions. Question 54. A home sells for $360,000 with a 6% commission. What is the total commission? A. $2,160. B. $21,600. C. $36,000. D. $60,000. The answer is B. $21,600. 360,000 times 0.06 equals 21,600. Question 55. Total commission on a sale is $24,000. The listing brokerage's split is 50%, and the agent's split of that is 60%. How much does the agent take home? A. $7,200. B. $12,000. C. $14,400. D. $24,000. The answer is A. $7,200. 24,000 times 50% is 12,000 to the brokerage. 12,000 times 60% is 7,200 to the agent. Solve the total first, then split it in order. Question 56. A buyer takes out a $280,000 loan and is charged 1.5 points. How much are the points in dollars? A. For $120. B. For $1,200. C. $1,867. D. $2,800. The answer is B. For $1,200. 1 point is 1% of 280,000, which is 2,800. 1.5 points is 2,800 times 1.5, which is 4,200. Question 57. Annual property taxes are $6,570. Using a 365-day year, what is the daily proration rate? A. $1.80. B. $18. C. $180. D. $547.50. The answer is B. $18 per day. 6,570 divided by 365 equals $18 exactly. Question 58. A rental property generates $54,000 in net operating income and is valued at $600,000. What is the cap rate? A. 6%. B. 9%. C. 11%. D. 54%. The answer is B. 9%. Cap rate equals NOI divided by value. 54,000 divided by 600,000 equals 0.09, or 9%. Question 59. A property is priced at $450,000 and generates $60,000 in annual gross rent. What is the gross rent multiplier? A. 0.13. B. 1.3. C. 7.5. D. 13.3. The answer is C. 7.5. GRM equals price divided by annual gross rent. 450,000 divided by 60,000 equals 7.5. Question 60. A rectangular lot measures 150 feet by 200 feet. How many square feet is it? A. 350. B. 3,500. C. 30,000. D. 300,000. The answer is C. 30,000 square feet. Length times width. 150 times 200 equals 30,000. Question 61. A lot contains 87,120 square feet. How many acres is that? Remember, 1 acre equals 43,560 square feet. A. 1 acre. B. 2 acres. C. 4 acres. D. 20 acres. The answer is B. 2 acres. 87,120 divided by 43,560 equals exactly 2. Chapter 10. Leases and Landlord-Tenant Law. 6 Questions. Question 62. In a gross lease, who typically pays the property's operating expenses, like taxes and insurance? A. The tenant pays all of them. B. The landlord pays them, built into the rent. C. They are always split 50-50. D. Neither party pays them. The answer is B. The landlord, with those costs baked into the rent. That's the opposite of a net lease, where the tenant pays some or all of those expenses separately. Question 63. A tenant transfers their entire remaining lease interest to a new party and drops out of the landlord relationship completely. This is A. a sublease, B. an assignment, C. a novation of the property, D. a leasehold estate. The answer is B. an assignment, transferring the entire remaining lease term. A sublease only transfers part of the term or space, and the original tenant stays on the hook. Question 64. A landlord makes a rental unit so unbearable, turning off heat in winter, for example, that the tenant is forced to move out. This is A. actual eviction, B. constructive eviction, C. a holdover tenancy, D. adverse possession. The answer is B. constructive eviction. There's no formal eviction, but the landlord's actions effectively force the tenant out, which can relieve the tenant of further rent. Question 65. A tenant stays in the unit after their lease expires, without the landlord's consent. This is called A. A. holdover tenancy, B. estate for years, C. life estate, D. sublease. The answer is A. a holdover tenancy. The landlord can typically treat them as a trespasser or accept the situation and treat it as a new periodic tenancy, depending on how the landlord responds. Question 66. The implied promise that a rental unit is safe, sanitary, and fit to live in is called the A. right of quiet enjoyment, B. warranty of habitability, C. doctrine of latches, D. rule against perpetuities. The answer is B. warranty of habitability. This is implied automatically in New York residential leases. It doesn't need to be written in. Question 67. A percentage lease is most commonly used for which type of tenant? A. a residential apartment tenant, B. a retail store tenant, paying rent based partly on sales, C. an office tenant on a 10-year term, D. a farm tenant. The answer is B. a retail tenant. Rent is a base amount plus a percentage of the store's gross sales, common in shopping centers and malls. Chapter 11. Closing and Settlement. Three questions. Question 68. At closing, prorations for property taxes and other recurring costs are calculated to A. give the seller a full refund of all taxes paid, B. fairly split shared costs between buyer and seller based on their period of ownership, C. only benefit the buyer, D. eliminate the need for title insurance. The answer is B. prorations split shared costs fairly, based on how long each party actually owned the property during that billing period. Question 69. A lender requires title insurance at closing primarily to protect A. the buyer's personal belongings, B. the lender's financial interest in the property, C. the seller's future liability, D. the real estate agent's commission. The answer is B. the lender's financial interest. This is called a lender's policy. A separate owner's policy can also be purchased to protect the buyer's own equity. Question 70. Ranking deeds from strongest to weakest buyer protection, which comes first? A. quitclaim deed, B. general warranty deed, C. bargain and sale deed without covenant, D. special warranty deed. The answer is B. the general warranty deed. It offers the broadest protection, guaranteeing clear title even against defects from before the grantor owned the property. A quitclaim deed, at the opposite end, offers no guarantees at all. Chapter 12, the final chapter. New York specific topics. Five questions. Question 71. A cooperative apartment purchaser receives A. a deed to the specific unit, B. shares of stock in the corporation plus a proprietary lease, C. a life estate in the building, D. nothing until the mortgage is paid off. The answer is B. shares of stock plus a proprietary lease. That makes it personal property, not real property. A condo purchaser, by contrast, receives an actual deed. Question 72. New York's mansion tax, an additional transfer tax on higher-priced residential sales, is generally paid by A. the seller, B. the buyer, C. the real estate agent, D. the municipality. The answer is B. the buyer. That's the opposite of the standard New York transfer tax, which is customarily paid by the seller, a distinction the exam likes to test. Question 73. Rent stabilization in New York primarily applies to A. any rental unit statewide, regardless of building size. B. older buildings with 6 or more units, mainly in certain high-demand areas like New York City. C. only single-family homes. D. only co-ops. The answer is B. older buildings with 6 or more units, mainly in certain downstate areas. It limits rent increases and generally gives tenants renewal rights. Question 74. Compared to a condo board, a cooperative board generally has more power to A. set the building's property tax rate. B. reject a prospective purchaser without stating a reason. C. waive fair housing law entirely. D. change zoning for the building. The answer is B. reject a purchaser without stating a reason. A condo board typically only holds a right of first refusal, but neither board can ever reject someone based on a protected class. That limit always applies, no matter how much discretion the board has. Question 75, the final question. Which of the following is not one of the New York additions to the federal fair housing protected classes? A. source of income. B. military status. C. disability. D. sexual orientation. The answer is C. disability. That's one of the federal 7, not a New York addition. Source of income, military status, and sexual orientation are all protections New York adds on top of the federal baseline. That's the end of the exam. That's the full 75-question mock exam. Score yourself. 53 correct or more is a passing score on the real thing. If a chapter felt shaky, go back and rewatch it. Then keep drilling. 891 questions and 15 more full practice tests are waiting for you at NewYorkRealEstatePrep.com.